I'm going to do something with you this morning, a little different, and I had some of the young people in mind. You ever see one of these? Aren't these great? What is this called? A pin screen something or other? You know what this does is it takes on the image of the things that you hold against it. For instance, here's a box of raisins. If I go like this, there's my box of raisins, see? It's in here, and it's in there. Now, this is the box of raisins. This is just the image, right? Okay, this is fun. Scotch tape. How does that look? Yeah, it's pretty good. Here's a pair of scissors. Okay, checking this out. All right, exciting. I even brought my inhaler. Might need it. Oops. Let's see. Okay. Oh, some of those pins are sticking up, but that's the idea. Years ago, when I lived in the Faith Home.
You wanted the kids' hands.
What? Yeah. Leon, come here. This doesn't hurt. The pins are not sharp. Okay. Just so you know. Are you ready? Spread your fingers a little bit so we get some. Here we go. That's Leon's hand. Give me five. All right. Okay. When I lived in the Faith Home with Brother Eddie, Matthew and Jeffrey, I don't know if you know them, Matthew and Jeffrey Walfogle, they're both pastoring the church in Ridgewood now. That's the picture of their father, Brother Eddie, and along with my brother-in-law. And I lived there, and they were little boys, and I used to, when Christmas time came, I bought Matthew, Jeffrey, and Sarah one of these. And, you know, I usually buy kids presents that I like so that I can play with them and have an excuse. So we went through the whole house, everything we could think of, grabbed that vase, put it on here. I even did her face. I don't know if you can, well, let's try. See? Handsome. Right. Well, we had a lot of fun with that. There's a reason why I brought this with me, not just to play, but I want to look in the Bible with you. Let's turn to the Gospel of Mark. Okay. And we're going to turn to the 12th chapter, Mark chapter 12. Here's a story of some of the people trying to trip Jesus up. You ever have somebody do that? That they ask you a question because they want to get you into trouble by your answer. Mark 12:7 I have here. Oh, 17. Okay. Yes. Verse 13, and they sent unto him, Jesus, certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. Catch him in his words. That means to get him to say something that they can accuse him of before the authorities. They can go back and say, oh, Jesus said this. You ought to arrest him. Catch him in his words. I just want to see what it says in the New Living Translation. I like the New Living Translation. I don't know that it's perfect, certainly. But often when I read it, I say, now, if I was explaining that from the King James, that's exactly how I would say it. And so that's why I often go back there. The leaders sent some Pharisees, supporters of Herod, to try to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. I guess that's what it means, right? To trap him in his words. Get him to say something by which he could be arrested. Teacher, these men said, we know how honest you are, that you are impartial and don't play favorites. You sincerely teach the ways of God. See, now they're buttering him up, right? They're making him feel like, they're trying to give the impression that they really like him and they really are very interested in his answer to their question and that they think he's so wise. Should we pay, now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to the Roman government, to Caesar, or not? Should we pay them or should we not? It's a tricky question. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? What do you think the answer should be? Should your parents pay taxes? Yeah, maybe. Maybe they don't feel that way, but you do. Yeah, that's necessary, right? They use our tax dollars to take care of some of our necessities, right? Education and garbage pickup and different things like that. Taking care of the roads. So they asked Jesus, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And they expected Jesus to say, no way, we shouldn't pay taxes to Caesar, to the Roman government. That's an evil institution, and we shouldn't support it in any way. We're living for God. They're not. And so we should use our money more wisely. But Jesus didn't say that. See, then they would have run back and said, oh, Jesus said we're not supposed to pay taxes. And they would have said, what? Sent some soldiers to arrest him. But Jesus answered very wisely. And he said to them, when he saw through their hypocrisy, when he saw that they were just pretending and they really wanted to trap him, he said, who are you trying to fool with your trick questions? Show me a Roman coin. I'll tell you. And I'll tell you, when they handed it to him, he said, whose picture and title are stamped on it? Whose image and superscription are stamped on it? Whose image is stamped on a penny? Do you know? Whose picture? What president?
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. What about a nickel?
Thomas Jefferson.
I think that's right. What about a dime? I don't know myself. Is it? Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
Eisenhower's a dollar.
Right. Okay, how about a quarter? Right. Are you going to be a banker when you get older? You never know. Okay. Well, I can't give my pennies to Abraham Lincoln because he's dead, right? Or any of those. But Caesar was still alive. He was the leader of the Roman government, and his picture was on the coin. And so Jesus said to them, well then, give to Caesar what belongs to him, and give or render unto God. But everything that belongs to God, you must give to him. This reply completely amazed them. Okay, sometimes I like this translation, and sometimes it interprets a little too much for me. But it was good. I think that's basically what Jesus was saying here. I like the King James, though. Whose is the image and superscription? And they said, Caesar's. Jesus answered and said, then, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. They couldn't get him in trouble by an answer like that. He said, well, if Caesar's picture is on the coin, then give it to him. And in other words, he's saying, sure, pay your taxes. He said, but make sure that you don't just give to Caesar what belongs to him, but give to God that which belongs to him. And the idea there is that just the way that coin bore the image of Caesar, the Roman leader, he said, our lives bear the image of God. Why, doesn't it say in Genesis that we were made, Adam and Eve was made in the image of God? Right? Now, the animals were not made in the image of God. I have a dog at home named Richie. I also have a neighbor named Richie. And when I yell, Richie, they both look. It's kind of funny. But he likes that we named the dog Richie. So anyway, Richie was not made in the image of God. Now, I was made in the image of God. You were made. Lily was made in the image of God. And I can relate to people that are made in the image of God in a way that I can't relate to my dog. You know, I can pet my dog, I can walk my dog, he can lick me, he sits at my feet, and he likes to be, petted and loved. So I have a little bit of a relationship with my dog, but I have a much better relationship with my kids. I should hope so, right? They can talk. They have a brain that can reason. And, you know, we're made in the same image. God made us in His image. There's something about us that is like God so that we can have a relationship with Him, right? Better than we can with, you know, others that are not made in God's image. God made me something like Himself so that I can get to know Him, that He can become my best friend, that we can communicate together. And I have one more. I got this from Sister Mary. She said, be very careful with this, because this was Julia's doll, whom she named Johnny. That's, I guess, her brother. And so, if you take Johnny... Okay, see Johnny? Okay. So this is Johnny, and this is the image of Johnny. Okay. God made us in His image. Adam and Eve had perfect fellowship with God. They used to meet together during the cool of the day, it says. God would come down into the garden. They'd walk with Him and talk with Him. And, because they were made in His image, they could have this relationship. But then when Eve sinned, the Bible says that image was marred. See? Still a little bit there, but it's not as nice as it was before. You getting this, Jason? I can see you're very fascinated by this. And that's what sin does. You know, everybody has been made in God's image. God made every one of us in a way that we could get to know Him through Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus came and died for our sins, and He made it possible that we now can have a relationship with God that we didn't have before. And that we can become more like Him. We were singing about becoming like Jesus. And there's a verse in the Bible that tells us that Jesus came and He sent His Holy Spirit so that the image of God that was ruined by sin can be restored. You see, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, now He wants to perfect that image. He wants to recreate the image of God in you, if we could say it that way. Let's look at Colossians 3:10. Praise God, okay? Colossians. Can someone read that for me?
Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him.
Thank you. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old evil nature and all its wicked deeds. In its place you have clothed yourself with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Jesus, who created this new image in you. Okay, same idea. He says, don't lie to each other anymore. Now that you're Christians, don't act like this, right? He says, because those sins have been forgiven, Jesus has removed them from your life, and now He wants you to reflect or to live in such a way that people can see God's image in you more clearly. They can see Jesus shining through your life. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus, when He was here on earth, He was the perfect image of God. You read that in Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus said to His disciples, if you've seen Me, you've seen God the Father, because I'm exactly like Him. And He was. Jesus never sinned. Jesus was full of love. Everything that Jesus said, He spoke the words of God. Everything He felt, everything He did was exactly what God wanted Him to do. And so when you looked at Jesus, you were really looking at God. Now, we're not like that. There are some things about us that are like Jesus, and there are some things that God still has to change in our life. God's image is not perfect in us, like maybe it was in Adam and Eve, or like it was in Jesus. But after we get saved, God begins to mold us and shape us and make us to bear his image again. And that's what happens when Jesus comes into our life. Let's see if we can get Johnny to look like Johnny again. Okay, that's better right now. It's not so ugly like he was before. Sin is kind of ugly. But one day, we're going to look just like Jesus. I don't mean he's going to change the shape of your face or give you curly hair if you didn't have, or any hair if you don't have. But we look like Jesus in our character, you know, the kindness, the love, the holiness, the purity of our hearts. That's when people see that's where they're seeing Jesus in us. And so it's good to know that the reason Jesus saved me is not just to take away my sin so I could go to heaven, but while I'm here on earth, the Lord wants to change me so that while I'm going to school, or while I live in my home, or while I go shopping or get on the bus, that the way I treat people, the way I talk to them, they would say, there's something different about you. What? Why are you so kind? Why are you so friendly? Why are you so... why don't you do some of the things that your other friends do? And then they begin to understand, or you can explain to them, that's because Jesus is living in my heart, and I'm praying that he'll make me more like him. And I want people to see his kindness, his love, his goodness shining through my life. Praise God. In Romans chapter 8, one more verse I want to... One more passage I want to look at with you. Romans chapter 8, and beginning with verse 28. A lot of people quote Romans 8:28, but they don't always quote Romans 8:29. And we want to look at that together. Okay, so who's got that? Romans 8:28 and 29.
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Thank you. There's that word again, image of his Son, that phrase. So, after Jesus saves us, then he begins to let things happen in our life to teach us lessons, to get us to pray, to teach us how to trust God. And it says that as we do all that, God is conforming us into the image of his Son. That's exactly what we've been talking about. Here's another place in the Bible where it talks about that. The things that are happening in my life, the reason they're happening is to make me more like Jesus. That's the first... the first thing I should consider when things happen in my life. You ever have something happen in your life and you say, I wonder why God let this happen? Well, we always know that he let it happen to help us to become more like Jesus. Maybe it'll get me to pray more. Maybe it'll get me to think about my ways and ask God to change them. God uses all the things that happen in our life like tools, like hammers and chisels, to shape our lives and make us more like his Son. And when the Lord comes back, he's coming back for people that are just like him. He's coming back for his children, and among his children there are going to be many, many that have let Jesus shine through them. Now, it's in Romans chapter 12, in the beginning of the chapter, it says, do not be conformed to this world. And here in the 29th verse, it says that you may be conformed into the image of his Son. You know, the devil wants you, he wants to make you more like the people of the world that don't believe in God. He wants you to talk like them. He wants you to act like them and treat people like them. You know, I said, I've been telling people I work in a school, and I see the kids every day in junior high school and how they treat each other. We got some bullies we have to take care of once in a while. And then there's fights that take place sometimes over nothing, you know. And the kids, I hear them cursing all day long. And then you tell them to do something and they don't do it. And they defy you. And, you know, there's a lot of that going on. Every once in a while, you'll get a really good kid who shows respect, who watches the way he talks or she talks, and doesn't get into fights, is kind and considerate to others. And that person really stands out. And I tell them that. I say, hey, how come you're not getting into fights like everybody else? I just want you to know I appreciate that. I see that. You keep that up. You're going to go far that way. But the devil tries to get the kids of this world, or the adults as well, to bear his image, to reflect him, his evil and his sin and all that. But when Jesus comes into our heart, he washes that away, and now he wants us to shine for him. And so, don't be conformed to the world. Don't let the world force you to be like the devil. But let the Holy Spirit make you to be more and more like Jesus. And I can see that God's been doing that in some, all of us, I trust. These girls that went to camp, I trust you asked Jesus to come into your heart. Maybe you did that before you came to camp. And every year that you come, you're going to be more like Jesus all the time. Getting nicer, getting sweeter, and living lives that are more pure and holy. And God will be able to use you then to serve him and to bless others. The adults that I see that come to camp, every year they come, they're a little bit more like Jesus than they were the year before. And I hope that's happening with me too. And God's going to keep on working on us until he's not satisfied until he can see Jesus perfectly reflected in our lives. And so let's realize that that's what God is after. That's important to him. And God, if you save me to make me like Jesus, then make that important to me. And help me to. Show me how to seek God. Show me how to yield myself to the Holy Spirit. And give me faith that no matter what my problems are, that you can change me. You can fill me with your Spirit, and you can make me to shine more brightly. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing a song about being like Jesus. I know we have it. Oh, to be like thee. Yes, 325. Praise God. As we sing this song helps us to understand what it means to be like Jesus. What are the things that God is wanting to produce in our life? Compassion. That means loving others and feeling for them. Being forgiving. Being kind. Being brave. Being patient. Okay, so take notice of those things as we sing. Praise God.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. My heart.
Father in heaven, thank you that we can all be here together, Lord, to adore you, to look up upon you, to ponder upon you, your words, Lord, to listen to you. Oh, how precious it is to be here, Lord, in your holiness, Lord, to just praise you, Lord God, look upon your majesty, Lord, to acknowledge you, to just love you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We pray that, Lord, that you will linger in our hearts as we linger in yours, that, Lord, that we will remember you, Lord, throughout our time here at camp. And for those who are leaving today, that, Lord, that you will help us remember you, Lord, that your presence will be with us, Lord, as we travel down back home. And we pray that, Lord, you will be here with the in the retreats. You will be here in the third period, that you will be here, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Everyone's heart here, the staff, Lord, the counselors, and everyone here, the groundsmen in the kitchen, Lord, that we can feel you, Lord. Truly, it just feels like heaven here on earth, and we want to just receive from you, Lord. Help us not to forget your goodness, your kindness for us, Lord. But every day, Lord, remember this moment and more, Lord. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, God bless you all. We're dismissed. Have a wonderful day and a safe trip home. And may the Lord go with you. I know he does. Praise God. Let's see what God has waiting for us when we get back home, right? Praise God. Amen.